Good morning. Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. As John said, I'm Johnny. I'm one of the site leaders who is based in Bognor Regis. So we've come all the way from the sunny seaside town of Bognor Regis. And as I said, it's such a pleasure to be with you this morning. Our series at the moment we're going through is Why I Follow Jesus. So that's our summer series. And I've been asked to speak to you this morning. And it's quite interesting that they've asked me to talk. When I proposed to my wife, Kim, I couldn't actually get the words correct. I bumbled on my words, so I got everything right. I took her to the beach, her favourite place, Witterings Beach, even nailed that bit. We're walking along, got on one knee, got the ring out, tears were flowing. Then I stumble on my words. I say, "Will you be my marry me?" I got the words, "Will you marry me?" or "Will you be my wife?" I thought, let's combine them together. So I got that totally wrong. So it's interesting that they've asked me to speak this morning. Hopefully I won't bumble too much on my words. So as I said, I'm married to Kim. We've got two children. We've got two young girls. One's called Mimi. She's 2 years old. And we've got Sephora, recently born. She's only 9 weeks old. And they're such a pleasure to have. They're such a blessing to us. I'm a teacher, so my job is obviously teaching young children. I teach at a school in Southbourne, which is near Emsworth, and at the start of every lesson, I like to get people thinking. So what I like to do is give them something to get their mind working, get their brains going. And so today, I want to also get your brains going. We're going to be looking at the perspective-changing cross. And so what I want to do, as I would at the start of a lesson, is give you a picture. So I want you to call out, what do you see in this picture? What do you see? You see an old woman. Okay. So we can see different things. When we're looking at it, we see different things. Some people saw the lady here with the feather in her hair, and that's her hair there. Or you might have seen the old lady, and that's her nose with like a shawl over the top. So you can see different things when we look at it. So this one, what do you see? Do you see a rabbit or a duck? Duck. Right. So you can see both. This is the rabbit's head and his ears, or this is the duck's beak and his head there. So you see different things and we see them differently. And so in life, sometimes we might see things correctly or incorrectly. So if I was to... Time doesn't change. Time stays the same. So if I was to spend 25 minutes playing football, that is such an enjoyable thing for me to do. I love doing that, and the time feels like it's gone really, really fast. Whereas if I'm waiting for a southern train to take me home and it's delayed, then actually it feels like an eternity. But actually the time still is the same. The time doesn't change. And so hopefully today the 25 minutes won't feel like you're waiting for a train. But I've just got one final picture I want to put up. And it's actually, what do you see when you look at this picture? This picture is of the cross. And before I followed Jesus, I looked at things incorrectly. I looked at this cross incorrectly. And I found myself actually, when I actually understood God and got closer to God, I realized more of what he was like. He made sense to me, and he was clearer to me. And so I want to ask you a question today to get you thinking. What difference does the cross make in your life? What difference does the cross make in your life? Are you someone who doesn't really think of the cross at all? You might not be a Christian here this morning, and you might think, oh, what's the point? I don't care. He's just some made-up character from some old book. Are you someone who's actually amazed by God? Are you amazed at actually what he's done? Do you come and worship and go, wow, thank you, God, for what you've done at the cross? So I want us to turn to Ephesians 3:1. And if you don't have a Bible with you, can you pop your hand up and Vernon will come and bring you a Bible. If the reason you don't have a Bible is because you don't own one or it's written in a really old language that you actually don't understand, then please take this. Take it as a gift from Grace Church. We love you to have it. Read it. It's a great book. It's life-changing. And you can have it as a free gift from Grace Church. You can put your name in it and keep it. So before we read, while you're turning there, I just want to put it into a bit of a context, a bit of background. So the person who wrote Ephesians, that was Paul. So he oversaw a lot of the churches, the early churches, and actually he was overseeing a church in Ephesus, hence the name Ephesians. And he was in prison. He was in prison in Rome in about 62 AD, so about 30 years after Jesus, and he was in prison writing this letter. And he was writing the letter really for three reasons, three purposes that he was writing this letter to them. The first one is to explain that actually Jesus has restored a relationship with us and God. So before, they would have thought, oh, it's all about what I have to do. But no. It's actually God has restored this relationship, and we can have an intimate conversational relationship with God. The second reason he was writing was because he wanted to tell them that every single person on the planet, they are united in Christ. It wasn't just for Jewish people, so the Jewish would have seen the people who weren't Jews as unable to be united in Christ through the cross. Actually, no, he wanted to inform them it was everybody. Everyone can come, everyone can be part of God, be a part of the family of God. And the final reason he wrote was, we are made new through Jesus. When Jesus died and we accepted Jesus into our life, actually, we are new creations. We are made new through Jesus. So they're the purposes of why he wrote. So what I want to do is just read the text now, and then we'll just explore it a little bit. So it says, "For this reason I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you've heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, verse 2. Assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace which was given to me by the working of his power. To me, though I am very least of all the saints, this grace was given, to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I'm suffering for you, which is your glory." So in the text, Paul's talking about how God's mystery is revealed. Paul knew how the mystery of God was revealed because he had the correct perspective of God, of Christ, and of the cross. And this morning, I want to explore three perspectives. These are going to be our 3 points. I want to explore 3 perspectives. I'm then going to say about why I follow Jesus from this perspective. And then I want to challenge you with a question and ask you, how does this perspective of the cross apply to you? How does that perspective of the cross apply to you? So I think we actually need to look at the meaning of perspective first and start from there. So the meaning of perspective, there's 10 or so definitions in the dictionary, but I want to just look at how they can be summarized into 3 main definitions, and these are going to be our 3 points this morning. So the first one is that we could look at it in terms of art, or I like to call it the nearer or further away perspective. So if we look at the picture on the screen, we've got the Mall leading up to Buckingham Palace. And far away, it doesn't really look very clear. But the closer that I get to it, when I'm up at the gates, I can see how grand and how it's made so magnificently. I can really see it clearly the closer that I get. So when something is, it's clearer when you're nearer as the observer. The second perspective I want to look at is reasoning a situation wisely or unwisely. When I was a student, I had a lot of time on my hands. I've got much less time now with children and having a job. So I decided I'd like to do a bit of running. So I did the marathon. And actually, I can now reason the marathon much better because I've done it, because I've experienced it. I'm able to reason that situation really well because I know it's not that bad. I can actually do it. I can make it. The pain is worth it because you get to the end and you're proud of your achievement and you've reached your goal, and I can reason that situation better. Or you could think of an injection. The pain of the injection is painful, but actually I reason the situation realizing that it's better that I've got an antibody injected in rather than the pain. So you can reason a situation correctly. And the final point, the final perspective, is actually a viewpoint perspective. So when somebody's writing a newspaper, they've got a certain ideology in their brain of how they want to write, what they want to get across, and their viewpoint that they want to get across when they're writing. So for instance, the Sunday Times, they would write from a conservative viewpoint. Okay, so there are three definitions. We've got our further away perspective, we've got our reasoning perspective, and we've also got our viewpoint perspective. So the first one, perspective one, the further away or the nearer one. In Ephesians, Paul explains in 8 to 13 that God's wisdom is revealed only in Jesus. Before Christ, it was this mystery, this weird mystery that's waiting to be revealed. And God has got mysteries that he wants to reveal to you this morning. He is closer than we could actually realize and that we actually think that he is. The closer our relationship is with God, the more we understand the mysteries that he has. Whereas the further away we are, the less we can see being revealed. And I'm not saying that if we're far away we can't see any of God's mysteries. That's not what I'm saying. But actually, the nearer we are, the more we see, the more clarity that it brings. The thing of a picture. So if I was at an art gallery and I was looking at a picture and I'm really far away, I can't see the detail. Then I take a couple of steps closer. I can see a bit of the colour. Actually, those colours blend. Then I get closer and I can see the texture of the picture. I can see the real detail of the picture, the background, the setting, maybe the signature of who painted it. I can see those things the closer I get. We often forget, actually, God wants to reveal his mysteries to us, and he's open to us, but all we need to do is come to him. There's no point in going to a party, standing outside when the door is open, listening to the music, hearing people laughing and dancing, and standing outside when actually all we need to do is walk in. We have this element where we stand back, and actually God wants us to walk through the door. Come in, come and enjoy the party that's going on here. So what happens when we walk closely with God? We have a clearer perspective. We see things in HD. We see them really clearly. Rather than this blurred view, we can see God's plans for our lives. Verse 9, Paul tells us that he's got this insider information about the mysteries of God. And the way that he does that is through chatting with God, spending time with God. And in a company, the higher up you go in a company, the more you know about the goings-on, the more you know about the finances and things like that. You understand that the higher up in a company you go. And it's the same with our relationship with God. The more we spend time with God, the more, as Ephesians puts it, the mysteries are revealed to us. So actually, why does this make me follow Jesus? It's great, but why does this make me follow him? Well, actually, the cross, that just allows me to meet with God. He wants a close relationship with me. He's not a distant God. He wants a relationship, and he's calling me again and again back to him. And what I've found in my life is the deeper I find myself in God, the more I spend time with God, the more I see revealed about his plans for my life, the more I see that, the more I understand it, the more I know his character, and ultimately, that makes me want to just know him more, isn't it? The more I have spent time with him, the more I see his character, the more I want to know about him. So I want to challenge you with this question. How should this perspective impact your life? How should this perspective impact your life? How close do you feel to God? Do you know he wants a relationship with you? Whether you're a Christian this morning or not, you're on a journey. Okay, you might be at the start, you might be on your way through it, but we are on a journey. And I want to encourage you this morning just to take one step closer to that picture, that portrait of God. Just having that one step. And Paul helps us to understand how we can do that. I'm just going to list a few ways where Paul has deepened his own relationship. And we can take it from his life about how we can deepen our relationship with God. First of all, it's in Acts 22, it's through prayer. He prays, and actually it's him talking to God. And that's given him a clearer perspective of God. 2 Corinthians tells us that actually sharing the gospel, that has grown his relationship with God. That's got him closer to God. And it challenges us. The more we push out to others to spread the gospel, the more, as Thomas Bishop, who spoke in Bognor last week, said about strengthening our faith muscles, exercising our faith muscles, the more it builds up our faith muscles, the more we rely on God, the more we just have an intimate relationship with God. And Paul humbles himself in 2 Corinthians. He says, I will not boast in anything but Jesus Christ. And he could boast about so much, Paul. He'd suffered tenfold. He had... He was an excellent scholar. He understood scripture really well. He could have boasted in his own intellect, but actually no. He only boasts in his weaknesses. He will not boast in anything else but Jesus Christ. And that just grows our relationship. The more we see of what God is like, the more actually that will impact our own lives. In Galatians, Paul talks about how the Holy Spirit revitalized him. I don't know how energetic you are, or how energized you feel, but actually God revigorates us, he energizes us, and he helps us, the Holy Spirit helps us to walk daily with Jesus. And throughout Acts, Paul just spends time with other believers. Good company is going to produce good character. Bad company is going to produce bad character. The more we spend with fellow believers, the more actually our own character, our own relationship with God will change. So going to the church, I don't know if you do church picnics in Midhurst, or I think you did a camping event, did you? So the more of those things that you get involved in, the more prayer meetings you attend, life groups, the more actually your heart for the church will change. When I came as a student, I didn't fully understand how much God loved the church. But the more I went to prayer meetings, the more that I joined in life group, the more I served, the more I discovered about how much God loves his church. And actually, that built a love in my heart for his church. And that it just challenged me. And then that grew my relationship with God as well. So perspective one is God is closer than you think. Perspective two, God reasons a situation because he knows the bigger picture. Verse 11, Paul talks about the eternal purpose is realized in Christ. If I could teach kids at school one thing I could teach my kids, it would be have a bigger long-term perspective of stuff. I have to deal with every single day children having the tiniest of arguments about the tiniest of things, about the tiniest thing of something that's said of the tiniest of tiniest. But actually, if they realized this little insignificant moment in their life was so insignificant in their life, actually, It would resolve so much more of my time. It would allow them to enjoy school better. It would allow me to be able to do my job in actually teaching them rather than resolving conflict every 5 minutes. And it would actually make my life so much easier. But actually, we have these short-term outlooks. Football managers changed every 5 minutes. New CEOs of companies every 5 minutes. Because things aren't going well, they need changing. But actually, Ephesians 1 explains that Jesus and our salvation, they were planned before the foundation of the world. Our salvation and Jesus were his long-term goal the whole time. It says in Ephesians 5, in love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. To the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved, which is Jesus. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. When Jesus died, nobody, his mother, his friends, nobody thought that that was a good thing. They all saw this thing as a negative, insignificant, and everything had gone wrong. Satan would have seen it as everything had gone right. His plan worked, everything happened, it was fine. But actually, no. Jesus and God the Father, they knew the long-term plan. They had the long-term goal in mind the whole time. And he had the eternal perspective, and he was in control of everything the whole time. And we could argue, but he's God, I'm not, how's that fair? I can't do that. But then it just resonates the importance of perspective one. By understanding the mysteries, by having that close walking relationship with God, that is actually going to help us understand and see the bigger long-term picture. So why does this make me follow God? Why does this make me follow Jesus? Well, actually, the cross just brings me comfort and security in more than anything else that this world can handle. When Mimi was born, Kim and I really felt that Kim was to have a full year off from working, so she didn't work for a year. But actually, the maternity pay, that would only cover 9 months. So 3 months, we would be without any of her money coming in. And actually, we worked out that my pay would not cover food, enough for food, enough for any other expenditure. And I don't think we've prayed or worried as much as we had during that time. But actually, time and time and time again, God faithfully provided money in the bank. We didn't go into debt once. He provided every penny that we needed, and he was faithful through it all. He's got a plan for our lives. Although we have no idea what it is, I can still have peace and security because I know where I've come from and I know where I'm going because of what the cross, what Jesus did on the cross. So I want to challenge you. How should this perspective impact your life? Do you feel God's always there? Are you actually like us? Are you in a situation where money, job, family life is tough? Kim's now quit work, and again, not got much money to survive on the month, but she's totally quit work, so we're going to carry on with that challenge and faithfully praying and faithfully worrying, if you can do that. But God, he empathizes with your situation. He's been through everything. So Jesus, he didn't have any money. Okay? He was homeless. He didn't even have a house. He has been through everything that we have been through and more. He suffered more than we ever could. And I just want to list 7 quick ways that God wants to encourage you and he wants to comfort you. There's so many more. I know I haven't got all of them, and these are just small summaries, but he just wants to comfort you with these just small quick ones. Romans 8 and Psalms 119. God is good all the time. says in his word, wherever, whenever, whatever, God is good all the time. Psalm 66, he just reminds us that he cares for you, he loves you, he wants a relationship with you. Ephesians 3, he listens to you when you call for him. Knock and the door will be open, it says in the Bible. Throughout Psalms, David reminds us that God will never leave us. He will comfort us and he will never forget us. 2 Corinthians, he's not going to stop helping you through situations. It's not like this 10-year gap where God's helped me here, but actually I have to wait a little bit of time for him to help me again. No, he's constantly helping us and he'll continue to help us through all the situations that we face. There are so many characters within the Bible, David and Moses. They have to go through situation after situation after situation, and God is just helping them every single step of the way. And he will do the same with us. If you can't tell already, God loves you, and he knows what he's doing in the situation you're facing. And I want to ask you a question. Are you struggling to see God's long-term plan in a situation? You want him breakthrough. So what we're going to do now, I really just want us to pause. We're going to pray. And this might be a key moment in somebody's life. And so I'd love you just to be sensitive to that. So if you're able, can we just stand? We're going to stand. And I just would love to pray with you. If you feel comfortable, close your eyes. Put out your hands and just ask God to help you, or encourage others if you feel necessary. Lord, thank you so much that you love us. Thank you. You love every single one of your creation. Lord, you're good all the time. Even when the situation seems so bleak, you are there all the time. God, where we need it, will you remind us that you care for us? Will you remind us that you listen to us? Will you remind us again and again that you've promised never to leave us alone? Pray, Lord, you bring comfort to all those who are in a situation where they are trapped. They feel trapped. They feel lost. They feel alone, and there's no way out. Just remind them that actually, no, you are with them. You comfort them, and you love them, Lord God. Amen. Amen. Just take your seats. We're going to have another time at the end to respond to that. So if you feel that that perspective, God wants to work in your life, I want you to be open to respond to that at the end. So perspective 1.1 was God is closer than you think. Point 2 is God reasons the situation because he knows the bigger plan. Perspective 3 is the viewpoint perspective. How do we view ourselves? How do we view the cross? And throughout my life, I have struggled pretty much every day of my life with dyslexia. And this has impacted myself. It's impacted me in school, in jobs. And when I read, there's a lack of enjoyment when I read because I struggle to actually read. And actually, I created this sort of identity in myself, in my dyslexia, rather than actually realizing my identity is in God. So often we do the same. When we come to God, when we approach God, we walk like these children being dragged to a head teacher's office to be told off. Or we might have this negative identity about ourselves based on our past. When neither of these viewpoints are correct about God, Jesus, the cross, ourselves, none of those viewpoints are correct. Verse 12 tells us that we have got boldness. We sang earlier, didn't we? Boldly I approach the throne. We have got boldness to access with confidence through faith. Boldness means that we don't use the wrong perspectives of ourselves to degrade God arrogantly or to shy away like this told off child. Or actually feel, no, I was made like this, so I can't really boldly. I am shy, so I can't actually boldly approach God. No, actually, God has created us in his workmanship. Instead of using these excuses as a way of running from God, no, we should use these excuses to abundantly run to God, to consistently run to God. So why do I follow Jesus? Well, before I viewed myself as a bit of a thicko, a bit of an idiot, as dyslexic Johnny, but actually no. The cross just aligns my focus back onto God and what God has done in my life rather than the flaws that I have got. So rather than seeing my flaws, I see his glory. I see him and what he looks like. It allows me to worship wholeheartedly with my head facing upwards at what God has done rather than my head facing down thinking about how I'm not good enough to come to him. God has done it all at the cross. We can come with confidence, and actually we've got access as well. So I want to challenge you again. How should this perspective impact your life? Be encouraged. God knows what Jesus has done is enough for you. And he actually brings us this encouragement in Ephesians 2. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of your own doing. It's a gift of God. Not a result of works. So that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship created in Jesus for good works. Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. By grace we've been saved. Brilliant. It's nothing that I've got to do. It's nothing about how good I am. But have I got to earn this grace? No, it's a gift. The faith that God gives us to even have this is a gift. So do I have to work? Do I still have to work for it? No. It tells us a bit later, doesn't it? It's not by works so that no one may boast. I can't boast about my salvation. I can boast about my salvation for what God has done, but I can't boast about my salvation about what I have done. But it still doesn't solve my identity issue. I still view myself as this. No. Actually, for we are his workmanship. God doesn't create things second best. He creates things perfectly, and we are actually created in Christ. He doesn't look at the old creation that we are. He looks actually at the new creation. He sees Jesus when he looks at us, and that's just a massive encouragement for you. So please be encouraged. So we're going to come back to the question at the start. What difference does the cross make in your life? What difference does the cross make in your life? Just think about it. This question shouldn't be taken lightly. It's so easy to just take things lightly. Actually, our perspective, it should be close and it should be clear. It should see the long-term plan. And actually, it should allow me to live for Christ, live a Christ-centered viewpoint of my life rather than a weak human viewpoint. Does God want a relationship with you? Of course he wants a relationship with you. He wants the closest relationship with you, one that's life-changing, one that is personal. What if I feel alone? He doesn't know what I'm like. He's been through it. He's been through all of it. And he knows your situation. He empathizes with you. He is in total control of all of those situations. And he's not going to leave you alone. He'll fight for us. He will comfort us. Doesn't know what I've done, actually. The cross allows me to come to Jesus no matter the situation. It allows me to come no matter how I view myself. It allows me to speak to God closely. Actually, it allows me to speak to God confidently, like I would a really close friend or a loving parent. So the band are going to come up. So Simo and Maria are going to come up. And I just want us to respond. I want us to do business with God this morning. So if you're able, again, let's stand. Let's stand and we're going to worship God. I want you to do business with God yourself this morning. This is where you can personally respond. to it. What do you need to do to take that one step closer to God? How far away do you feel from that picture? What, how many steps do you feel you want to take this morning? So I want to encourage you, just do business with God. Respond to God with asking him, how can I get closer to you? So as the band play, let's worship boldly. Yeah, we've got access to God.